Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It is known as the Great Commission, a pivotal passage where Jesus, after his resurrection, instructs his disciples to make disciples of all nations. Hear these words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw Jesus, they bowed down to worship him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, choir, for that fun song. It's fun to follow along with those clever lyrics there, too. As the morning sun rises over Galilee, its soft gold spills across the hillside where 11 disciples have gathered. Still reeling from the shadow of Jesus' death on the cross just a few days earlier, still dazed by impossible claims of the women who witnessed and proclaimed that love itself refused to stay buried. Their faces are etched with grief and bewilderment, eyes rimmed with sleepless questioning. They are survivors, not heroes, caught somewhere between terror and awe, haunted by the loss of their teacher and startled by impossible new hope. It's here, as the world seems poised between what was and what might be, that the risen Christ meets them. Not with triumphal shouts or imperial decrees, but with one simple word that rings like a bell through their chaos. Go. Go. Move. Step out from fear. Let resurrection draw out courage from weary hearts. This is not the call to brownstone monuments or museum building nostalgia, but a call to cross boundaries, internal and external, and to walk into a world still being born, bearing nothing but hope, uncertainty, and a holy unknowing. Resurrection is an invitation to travel lightly and step boldly into God's ongoing story. This week, we continue our Back to Basics worship series, looking at the essential teachings of Christian faith. The Great Commandment, the Great Requirement, the Great Invitation, and today, the Great Commission. Today and next week, we'll explore the words Jesus offers in Matthew 28 that have echoed through centuries. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. These words are thunderous. They summon us as they summon the first disciples out of our small stories and into the uncharted wildness of God's bigger story. But yet, we also know that history shows that these words have been twisted until they at times sound more like a battle cry than a blessing. Sometimes Christians have taken go as permission to dominate, to conquer, and to coerce rather than to companion and heal and touch and teach. For generations, Christian empires built their mission not on love, but on conquest. Ships sailed from Europe loaded with Bibles and muskets. Preachers and colonizers, all convinced that Jesus had given them permission to rule the world for God. In time, the United States took up that same mantle, framing its own expansion and global influence as a divine calling and a moral duty. Entire civilizations were ravaged under a banner of faith that looked nothing like the prophet who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And we know that impulse still lingers today. In policies that dehumanize, in rhetoric that divides, in Christian nationalism that insists that the gospel must ride on the power of the state. In the last 9 months, we've seen faith weaponized to claim power, authorize exclusion, and even sanctify violence. At times, it's hard to tell who is using whom. The state using Christianity to justify its dominance, or factions within Christianity leveraging the state to advance their own version of a Christian America. As leaders of this nation wage war against our very own cities, as thousands of immigrants have been ruthlessly taken from their families and communities, as healthcare access is being deprived from millions of people, as we turn our backs on our allies and do little to protect the innocent in ongoing wars in Ukraine and Palestine. I could go on and on. But there, behind all of this, are voices insisting that this is how God's kingdom comes. But friends, I do not say this lightly. That is a lie. Jesus never condoned militarism. He never blessed empire. He suffered under it. The cross was not a throne from which to rule, but a lynching tree on which he died at the hands of the state. When Christians confuse the power of empire with the mission of the kingdom, we betray the very heart of the gospel. Reverend Benjamin Creamer said recently of the times we are living in, "Be aware of any Christian movement that acts as though the world is full of enemies to be destroyed rather than full of neighbors to be loved. Be aware of any Christian movement that demands that government be an instrument of God's wrath, but never a source of God's mercy, generosity, or compassion." So then, friends, what does the Great Commission actually ask of us? Not conquest, but conversion. But conversion of our own hearts. Not seizing power, but stepping into partnership with God's great mission, what the church has called the Missio Dei, the mission of God, who longs for a world made new by compassion, justice, and sacrificial love. When Jesus says, "Go," he offers no strategy for imperial campaigns, no blueprint for culture wars. He sends us just like he sent those 11, fragile with doubt and longing, to the places where the world aches, to stand with the broken and the overlooked, the outcast. The go of the gospel is not domination, but solidarity. It's a call to show up where pain has power and hope struggles to survive, to weep with the mourning, to stand by the vulnerable, and refuse to let the forces of hate have the last word. Go means being present in the streets, standing for justice when our voices are most needed, which is now, right? Go means writing those letters, calling those officials, voting our conscience, and raising the alarm when leaders seek to baptize bigotry or justify violence in Christ's name. Go means crossing lines drawn by fear and suspicion and refusing to let the forces of hate have the last word. This is not easy. We know the news cycle is relentless. Sometimes it feels as if the terribleness that surrounds us on every side is winning. The state of hate seems to win over and over again. But friends, that's always been part of the story. And when you stop to remember the moment, the context of the Great Commission, the heartbreaking despair of those disciples and followers of Jesus, the state of their world at the time, we see that what was true then is still true now, because resurrection is the fuel of hope. The first disciples went afraid. Most of them would not live easy, comfortable lives. But the promise is this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That presence, that assurance, that transforms everything. If Christ is with us, then we can stand against the storm, not with the might of empire, but with the unyielding courage of compassion. Not to destroy, but to heal. Not to push down, but to lift up. And since living in this way demands all of our hope, let me close with a story. A story of one who embodies the challenge and beauty of going as Jesus calls. Jane Goodall was a young English woman with little more than a notebook and a brave heart when she stepped into the forests of Tanzania. She wasn't out to tame or conquer. She wanted to listen. For hours, days, weeks, she sat among the chimpanzees, learning their language, their sorrows, their joys. Her radical witness wasn't only scientific, it was her humility. She named each animal, honored their struggles, learned from their heartbreaks and their triumphs. She rewrote the rules of her field, insisting that empathy was no weakness, but a doorway into understanding, a way to live creation fiercely and deeply. Goodall, as you know, went on to become one of the world's leading primatologists and anthropologists. But she didn't just stop there. Her faith, shaped by attention and action, reminds us what real hope requires. When she saw forests burning, habitats disappearing, cruelty spreading, she moved. She founded the Jane Goodall Institute. She spoke up, stood with the endangered, the voiceless, the vulnerable, animals and humans alike. She made hope her discipline. Hope is often misunderstood, she said. People tend to think that it's simply passive, wishful thinking. This is the opposite of real hope, which requires action and engagement. Even in the face of violence and environmental collapse, she chose to believe in the possibility of restoration. Jane Goodall died this week at the age of 91, and the world lost a great humanitarian. But in her legacy, we see a parable to the best kind of Great Commission. She went. She went to serve, to listen, to learn, to build relationship, to work for restoration and healing. She chose presence over power, compassion over conquest, and hope over despair. Now, I know it may seem merely like a drop in the bucket to hold up the example of one person in the face of the overwhelming power and machinery of the empires of our day. Yet as Jane herself reminds us, you cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of impact you will have. So friends, in this resurrection moment, in the now of here in this space, where Christ is with us, where we meet Christ at this table along with people all throughout the world, I ask, Hamline Church, what kind of difference will we make? Behind all the noise of anger and fear in our nation, resurrection is calling, echoing in Jesus' invitation to go. Go into the places of heartbreak. Go into the conversations in need of kindness. Go into movements struggling for justice. Go into systems desperate for reform. Go where children are hungry. Go where neighbors weep. Go where change seems impossible and love seems lost. Go with the promise, the knowing that Christ is already ahead of us, making a way. Let us reclaim the Great Commission, tear it free from the grasp of those who would yield it for domination, and let our witness sound not in thunderous armies, but in steady, everyday courage of seeing the image of God in each and every face. Let's go. Let's act. Let's say yes to God's unfinished story, moving step by trembling step, not with arrogance, but with hope that every choice for justice, every word of truth, and every act of courage helps bring God's dream closer. And let's do all this with the humility of Jane Goodall, the courage of Christ, and the stubborn trust that the resurrection is not a story behind us, but the power calling us forward, together, into God's wide, unfinished world, longing for love and justice. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.